The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Can you give us the construct of how you will deconstruct the racism that was built into the roadways that you talked to the GRIO earlier when you broke that information with us? Can you talk to us about how that could be deconstructed?
As to where we target those dollars, you know, I'm still surprised that some people were surprised when I pointed to the fact that if a highway was built for the purpose of dividing a white and a black neighborhood, or if an underpass was constructed such that a bus carrying mostly black and Puerto Rican kids to a beach, or that would have been, in New York, was designed too low for it to pass by, that obviously reflects racism that went into those design choices.
You have to reconstruct communities that this happened to. As you said, some of these beltways and interstates and roadways were built before the Civil Rights Act, before the Voting Rights Act, and were meant to be racist. But how do you go about redefining and replanning these roadways and communities?
Sometimes it really is the case that an overpass went in a certain way that is so harmful that it's got to come down or maybe be put underground.
You just have to laugh. The lunacy knows no bounds here. It's worse than that, actually. It's an attack, as I've said so often. But how do you deconstruct racism built into the roadways, built into the bridges? I mean, when they say systemic, they mean systemic. It is everywhere, even in the bridges. They got to fix racism with the infrastructure bill, of all things. That's what they're on. Even as fuel prices are skyrocketing, there's the transportation secretary, the one that did nothing about the backlog at our port facilities, the supply chain crisis. That's happening now. And he's talking about some low bridge somewhere that might need to be torn down because it's racist. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. We were able to be broadcast on CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. That takes the audio-only version into 11 million American homes. But the exclusive rights, we have those, to our video, our live video stream every weekday morning here in Oklahoma, 11 a.m. in the Central Time Zone, 12 noon on the East Coast, and I was going to say 11, 9 a.m. actually out west. So wherever you happen to be, you can get to the live stream by going to our live stream page, thetrumpet.com/live. Thetrumpet.com/live also takes you to the page that has our podcasts, which are posted a couple of hours after the show. So you can listen live or you can listen on demand. We have so much to get to on today's show. It's been waiting there in my notes. I just haven't had time in the news section. So I think in the second segment, I'm going to be getting into some of the material that's piling up on just how deadly side effects, of the vaccine. All of them. I mean, reports just keep coming in, and it's being carefully concealed and hidden by the communist media here in the United States. But there are a few stories that still work their way through. They maybe fall through the cracks, I guess, for those trying to cover this up. A bombshell report coming out of Germany. All of these footballers that are keeling over after a heart attack or a blood clot of some kind. We'll get to that, as I say, if we have time. Let's hope we do in the second segment. So as I say, there's the transportation secretary talking about bridges that weren't constructed the right way. And you can already see the funny memes and social media posts in response to this nonsense, this craziness. And the reporter and the transportation secretary discussing it in all seriousness. I mean, they sound like intellectuals almost. They are crazy. That's the truth of it. This is insanity. Listen to this exchange. This is another one of Joe Biden's representatives. I guess Jen Psaki's been, I don't know, has she stepped down yet? Or she's almost done. But anyway, oh, that's right. She's got the COVID, Sam tells me. Yeah, she caught the COVID, but that's okay. It didn't endanger anyone in the White House. Not like when Kayleigh McEnany got the COVID. Now, that was dangerous. That was a super spreader. She almost killed the president. But Jen Psaki, thankfully, her COVID is a little bit different. Everything's fine. Nobody in the press is concerned. There was a member of the press that said, I believe I got into this. If I didn't, it was in my notes a few days ago. A member of the press that said, hey, it would be safer for me to work in North Korea. They said that when Kayleigh McEnany came down with the COVID. No such statements, though, when Jen Psaki gets it, because it's totally different, you see. In any event, they've got the other White House spokesperson out there. She, again, is going back and forth with Peter Ducey. Ducey's asking her about, well, there's these reports that you're in discussions to get rid of the Line 5 pipeline. They're going after another pipeline in the United States of America. Nord Stream can go forward. That's no problem. We'll help Germany. We'll help Russia. But we will not help the United States. We will not help our own people. That's the message that comes through loud and clear every day, every single day. This Line 5, right as we're coming into the winter, okay? Right as fuel costs are through the roof. And what is the Biden administration concerning itself with? Well, this Line 5 pipeline, it delivers all this oil from Western Canada into Wisconsin, Michigan. I mean, the Iron Belt, all these swing states that cheated Biden to victory. I mean, they don't have much of a margin for error in those states. But that's all right. It's all part of the plan. We got to get rid of the pipe. Haven't you been paying attention to Glasgow and the dear leader yesterday, Barack Obama, who made his appearance? Oh, everybody loved it. We've got to get away from pipelines and get to the solar panels and the wind turbines. So this is perfect. It's right out of the communist playbook. Listen to this exchange between Ducey and Jen Psaki's replacement, clip one.
The energy secretary says about the cost of Americans heating their homes in the winter, it will be more expensive this year than last year. So why is the administration now considering shutting down the Line 5 pipeline from Canada to Michigan?
So, Peter, that is inaccurate. That is not right.
Is it being studied right now? Is the administration studying the impact of shutting down the Line 5?
Yes, so, we are.
So that was inaccurate.
Well, I thought you were saying that we were going to shut it down. But that is not inaccurate.
No, but they're discussing it. And that's all that Ducey was asking. Is the administration really considering this? Now that's inaccurate. Just like they said after the $450,000 per illegal just from 2018. And we'll probably come to find out later that it was exactly $450,000. But you know the story there. No, that's a garbage report. Well, now he just was really taking exception with the actual figure. And then Biden on the weekend saying they deserve it. They deserve compensation. I mean, what a turnaround. This is just in 3-4 days time. And now here we are. I mean, you can barely catch your breath with this. And now they're on to destroying another pipeline. And I heard some of the commentators on Fox this morning saying that, well, because of the backlash that's going to come from Michigan and places up north, that they'll never go through with this, as if they've really even cared one bit about the public sentiment. They don't care. The approval ratings are in the toilet. They're down at 38% for Joe Biden, 28% for Kamala. And yet they go forward with their agenda, this radical left-wing communist agenda, and then they get up in front of the camera and they say, yeah, all these policies we're putting in place, they're overwhelmingly popular. They just lie about it. Nobody wants this pipeline to be shut off. And yet, look at Keystone. Look at some of the other examples. If it's in the United States of America and it hurts ordinary Americans, it's all part of the plan. Don't forget that. Don't forget it. Victor Davis Hanson had a piece this week about the relentlessness of Joe Bama in fundamentally transforming the United States. He didn't use those exact words, but that's what he's getting at. He's talking about America descending so fast into this pit of despair and destruction to where you can hardly recognize the United States. Hanson says, has anyone ever heard of liberal Americans deliberately not pumping oil and gas, but still needing so much more output that they beg the illiberal Saudis and Russians to bail us out? You heard from that representative yesterday who just laughed out loud at the thought of drilling more in the United States. We can't do that. I mean, I hope you've heard of the OPEC cartel. They're the ones that control the oil, and they said there's no more. They're not going to meet the demand. They're just going to keep the levels at about the same. So prices just keep going up, particularly as people start traveling more. I mean, we're not even. What's it going to be a year from now? If people do start to travel more by plane, certainly by car, and fuel prices increase through the winter months. It says here, this is Victor Davis Hanson, at other times in our history, we have suffered plenty of fossil fuel scarcities due to war, embargoes, and declining reserves. But never, listen to this, never has America deliberately created shortages amid a sea of our own gas and oil. We've got a sea of it all around us, and yet the Joe Bama administration, this is what Barack Obama wants. Listen, I'll play a clip for you in just a moment, what he was saying yesterday in Scotland about the new infrastructure deal. He talked about all these green policies, clean energy, solar panels. It says, never has America deliberately created shortages amid a sea of our own gas and oil. We've got all kinds of it on our own land, and we can't tap into it. Because, well, that doesn't please Bernie Sanders and AOC and the squad and Barack Obama. The conservative treehouse says here, we're witnessing a very specific type of electoral frustration caused by officials within a system attempting to stop a communist-style fundamental change by taking action within the same system, simultaneously collapsing through the actions of the communists. Joe Biden's approval rating has collapsed to the lowest level in history, which would normally, listen to this, normally cause a pause amid the political operators. That's the way it would be normally in American history. Wow, I mean, the approval rating is collapsing. I better rethink this. That's not part of the plan. It says here, however, in this new era, where collapsing the U.S. economic and social system is the objective, the polling is irrelevant. See, he's disposable, Joe Biden. He's irrelevant. He's taking the hit politically, but the Obama agenda goes forward. They're just ramming it ahead. Of course they'll shut down this pipeline. Now, they may try to put a spin on it or maybe time it just so, but this is right out of the Paris Accords. This is right out of the climate summit in Scotland. It says here, the Obama plan to use Biden as a disposable figure was designed for one specific four-year term of maximum damage. You see, it's the Obama third term, and it's designed for maximum damage. This is all about the fundamental transformation. This is all about bringing down the system, which if you've listened to them over the past 10 or 15 years, you know that's their intent. You know this is what they want. You know this is part of the revolution. We had an article, this is back in March of 2015. I mean, this is 6 years ago. Andrew Miller, he does a great job here just summarizing some of the prophecies that Herbert Armstrong gave decades ago, back in the 1940s and 50s. And I know we've gone through some of this before, but it's worth repeating here. It says, even at America's pinnacle, Herbert Armstrong boldly warned that the nation would eventually be invaded by a revived Holy Roman Empire led by Germany. And before that, here's what I want to emphasize, before that, America's rejection of God would allow communism to weaken the nation so that it could be invaded. That's what we're seeing here. Our nation is being weakened. Isaiah 1 says there's a sickness there from head to toe. It's throughout the body, spiritually speaking. It's from head to toe. It's at the leadership level, and it goes all the way down to ordinary Americans. We've all had a role in this. It's because of our many sins. It's easy to blame it on the communists now, after we've allowed this infiltration to continue for decades. It's gotten control of academia. It's gotten control of the deep state. It's gotten control, the permanent state, and then the ones that are voted in as well. So many of them are communists. It controls popular culture, media. Look at these people, as I say, covering up all of these deaths or these violent reactions to the vaccine. In another era, they would have exposed the dangers to warn you. None of that now. This is a different time. Andrew quotes Mr. Armstrong from 1944. Listen to this. Communism is a worldwide political movement organized inside many countries, Mr. Armstrong wrote in 1944. From official communist literature, anyone can learn, if he wishes to know the truth, that communism is a plan in action for the violent overthrow of capitalism and the capitalistic governments. Anyone can know this if you just look into their own literature. Black Lives Matter had it on their website last summer before they took it off after some criticism. Critical race theory, same thing. As soon as they get some criticism, as soon as they're exposed, then they kind of rebrand it. And so you've got people, smart people, this week, or at least following the election in Virginia last week, saying critical race theory, it's not real. It's not real. You've been trying to ram it into schools for decades, and you've had some pretty good success. That's why parents are standing up against it finally. Communism is a worldwide political movement, and its aim is capitalism. It says capitalism means democracy since it is the democracies who control more than two-thirds of the world's capital. Now listen to this history. That's the article there from 2015. You can get to that at the Trumpet Magazine if you're not a subscriber. Make sure you call our operators today and subscribe. There's no cost, no obligation. You get a free one-year subscription to this magazine that gives you tomorrow's news today. 1-866-930-3024. Just call that number and request the Trumpet Magazine. It says here, during and after the Second World War, Mr. Armstrong boldly proclaimed the biblical truth that Russia would not go to war with American military. However, he said Russia would wage psychological warfare, propaganda, infiltration, subversion, and demoralization. It says the communist Russians would attack our minds, our moral and spiritual values, rather than our bodies and our earthly possessions. Then he quotes Mr. Armstrong from 1965, who wrote, "What we fail to grasp in the struggle with Russia is this. We are not fighting a single nation in a military war, but a gigantic, worldwide, plainclothes army masquerading as a political party." Now that party has taken over the Democrat Party of the United States, seeking to conquer the world with an entirely new kind of warfare. And then he goes on to give that quote that we've read so many times, the kind of warfare that we don't understand. Well, many people are beginning to understand it now. Andrew Miller in his article here says, in the 1940s and 50s, many Americans found that warning to ring true. But as time went on, many dismissed it as a communist scare that never quite appeared. Well, there was a communist scare back in the 50s, and Americans were paranoid. And some were persecuted from those who said they were communists when they really weren't. Now you can look back on that history and see that we didn't get the communists out, did we? We didn't stamp it out at all. The communists fought back. Maybe they went underground for a time. But, I mean, now they're out in the open. And everyone can see it. Listen to Candace Owens last night on Tucker's show. This is clip two.
We're seeing right now, and people thought this was a radical concept years ago. This is a Republican talking point. It's not. We are seeing America being radically transformed into a communist country. That is what is happening right now. People need to wake up to this, Tucker. I cannot say it enough because it's happening quickly.
And good for her, but that's last night. Mr. Armstrong was saying in the 1950s, people need to wake up. They need to wake up to this now before it's too late. And look at where we are. Look at where we are. Jeroboam's going to come back. There will be a temporary resurgence. But look, you see the sickness, don't you? And it's weakening the United States. And just like Andrew said in his article, it's leaving us wide open for an attack from without. And the actual military attack, that comes from Europe, headed by Germany. The stage is being set. This conservative treehouse piece, it says, evidence of this purpose is found in the White House, this attack from communists. It's found in the White House telling businesses to continue operating as if the vaccine mandate is legally authorized, despite a court-ordered injunction against it. It says here, we're in a post-constitutional system now where the traditional checks and balances are ignored. So Joe Biden comes out with this decree through OSHA. Yeah, all these businesses, all across the nation. 100 employees are over. They're going to have to get the jab or else take these tests every single week. $100 a pop. And oh, by the way, we're coming after small businesses too. And I think it was the very next day, this is last Friday or Saturday, a judge from Louisiana says, that's unconstitutional. There's no way you can do this. And how does Joe Obama respond to that? Well, we're not going to wait and let this play out in court. We're just going to forget what that judge says. Remember what they said about Donald Trump? They encouraged the judges to stop Trump at every turn. And a lot of those judges had quite a lot of success. Trump never just said, forget what that judge says and just enforce this decree. You can only imagine what the communists and the media would have said had Trump ever said anything like that. He didn't. But that's what Joe Obama says, because they know. I could play the montage for you. They know it's unconstitutional because 2 seconds ago they were saying we don't have the constitutional authority to declare a nationwide mandate. And then they go ahead and do it. So they know that even if it loses in court, it served its purpose because it's all about intimidating employers into forcing the jab or firing people. That's the way these communists operate. And of course, they've used COVID. They've used COVID from the beginning to carry out this nefarious plot to bring down the United States of America, to bring it to its knees. Listen to Candace Owens again from last night, clip three.
How have they done it? They needed an existential crisis. Well, COVID-19 is their never-ending existential crisis. This is why we have to take everything that you own. This is why we have to shut down your businesses. This is why you can't earn a living while we take trillions for ourselves, because we're here to help. No, we're not. We're here to take over every aspect of your lives and welcome you to a socialist reverie.
That's Candace Owens, conservative commentator from last night. This conservative treehouse piece says nothing within their plan requires the approval or consent of any representative body in D.C. COVID is the tool to fundamentally change the way the United States exists. COVID's the tool. It's the tool they used to steal the election. And it's the tool they are still using. We're at day 603. 603 days to stop the spread. Can you believe this? This is their tool. This is how they're fundamentally changing the United States. Conservative Treehouse says, those behind the executive branch controlling Joe Biden are harnessing and weaponizing power, a power dynamic created by fear and enabled by COVID narratives writ large. Meanwhile, the legislative leftists are attempting to ensure the new systems they create under the guise of COVID-19 are never in a position to be withdrawn. This is fundamental transformation. Conservative Treehouse says this is the bigger picture. This is what they mean by build back better. Well, in the case of bridges, they're going to have to build back taller. Otherwise, it's racist. Everything's got to be rebuilt from the ground up. In the case of the bridges, literally. I mean, from the ground up. Fundamental transformation. Obama, as I said, he was at the climate summit yesterday, encouraging young people to rebel. Surprise, surprise. Encouraging young people to put their parents in their place. You know where they stand. We saw it in Loudoun County. We got to separate. They don't want the parents to have any kind of control over the kids. They want it to be the other way around. Obama said so yesterday. So he's there and he's treated like a big celebrity. You know what the headline in the Washington Post was? Joe who? Obama's star power still dominates the world stage. Obama's the real leader. It's Joe who? Joe's over there with one gaffe after another. He's the puppet. He's the one that everybody in the United States despises. And they'd feel a lot more that way about Obama if we had an honest press. Because of what Barack Obama is doing to the United States of America. Because of how he's attacking the United States. But at least the Washington Post gets it right about who's really in charge here. Says Obama felt less like an opening act and more like a headliner, greeted like a head of state. Well, you had most of the U.S. officials speak last week, didn't you? And here comes Obama toward the end. I assume we're getting toward the end. How long does this summit go on, by the way? How many days do they need to talk about crushing pipelines and building wind turbines? And it goes on and on, I guess. Obama drew a capacity crowd for his speech, with many observers gushing over his remarks and some describing him as the most popular leader in the entire two-week event. Wow. Has he gone away? Has he drifted off into the sunset? Is he just letting Biden kind of take matters and carry on? Not really concerned with meddling in the Biden? They're all Obama's people! Obama's just down the street in D.C., Joe's taking all of these trips on the weekends, spending more time out of the White House, in Delaware, at Camp David. Barack Obama's calling the shots. It's obvious. It says, even with a week between them, that international star power that Obama brought to Glasgow cut a stark contrast with Biden. You can see that you can begin to see even the robots in the media are beginning to turn on Joe Biden. They know his policies, his agenda has just been catastrophic. They can see. Now they're still going to provide cover for him. They certainly don't want a Republican ever to come back. Donald Trump, I mean, this is worth it to keep Donald Trump out. But they can see the disapproval numbers for Joe Biden. It says the current president was generally well received, but the most intense media coverage he received was for allegedly dozing off during the world leader segment of speeches on the first full day of the climate conference. Joe Biden goes there and falls asleep, among other things. And then Barack Obama, he goes there and, I mean, he is well received. It's perfect timing, too, isn't it? The infrastructure bill passes late Friday night, early Saturday morning. And then Barack Obama shows up on Monday for his speech, and he's bragging about infrastructure. And you know how he sees infrastructure? Well, listen to what he said yesterday, clip 4.
But last week, Congress passed President Biden's bipartisan infrastructure bill that will, among other things, create jobs manufacturing solar panels, and wind turbines, and batteries, and electric vehicles, and build out the first ever national network of charging stations so families can travel across the U.S. in electric vehicles. And I'm confident that a version of President Biden's Build Back Better bill will pass through Congress in the coming next few weeks.
Build Back Better is just going to add to all those things he listed off. Solar panels, wind turbines, batteries for electric car, and then a national network of charging stations. There's no end in sight to these nation-destroying plans. The infrastructure bill, this is just the first step. Then we got to build back better. And as we do that, hey, destroy the pipelines. Shut them off. Get rid of fossil fuels. Get rid of oil and gas. We got to do it. We got to save the earth. What about China and Russia? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We got to kill ourselves and let them benefit over there. Let the Chinese benefit. As we get all of the parts for the wind turbines and for the solar panels and for the electric cars and for the charging stations from Beijing. Are these really Americans with American interests at heart? Or are these communists that are attacking the United States from within? And who is there telling us about this even in the 1940s? The 40s and the 50s. This is Obama from Glasgow yesterday, clip 5.
There are times where I feel discouraged. There are times where the future seems somewhat bleak. There are times where I am doubtful that humanity can get its act together before it's too late. And images of dystopia start creeping into my dreams. And yet, whenever I feel such despondency, I remind myself that cynicism is the recourse of cowards.
Wow. Some of those pauses last longer than Biden's naps. Anyway, we're about out of time. We got to hurry. We should have trimmed some of that out of there. The pregnant pause, he made those famous. There he is talking about how scared he is at times. And yet, we got to go forward. We've got to implement this agenda, this green energy agenda. Conservative Treehouse says the U.S. borders are unsecured. Illegal alien hordes are intentionally welcomed. Again, by design. It's all by design, isn't it? Simultaneously, the U.S. military is likely to be put in a crisis position by thousands of critical servicemen rejecting the mandated vaccine. Yes, another element of the design. Listen to this. Saul Alinsky taught the designers how to overwhelm and collapse the system. They are doing exactly that. The communist network operators have all been simultaneously triggered and activated. They're attacking, as this piece points out, they're attacking on every front. He says it's like they have these communist activists, terrorists, really, blowing up suicide vests all over the place, all across the country. It's all by design. Here's Barack Obama again from yesterday. Notice this, clip 6.
I am convinced that President Biden's Build Back Better bill will be historic and a huge plus for U.S. action on climate change. But keep in mind, Joe Biden wanted to do even more. He's constrained by the absence of a robust majority that's needed to make that happen. Both of us have been constrained in large part by the fact that one of our two major parties has decided not only to sit on the sidelines, but express active hostility toward climate science and make climate change a partisan issue.
I like how he says that both of us have been constrained. I mean, he's probably most would take that to mean his presidency and then now Biden's. But again, this is Joe Obama. He that man there has an agenda and he's carrying it out with all his people working in the White House. And then him pulling the strings behind the scenes. then his focus shifted to the young. And the better part of the last part of his speech was just aimed at young people, telling them that they needed to take action. Listen to this one, clip 7.
They are forming a movement across borders to make the older generation that got us into this mess see that we all have an obligation to dig ourselves out of it. And if those older folks won't listen, they need to get out of the way.
See, that's the same spirit, that sentiment there. That's what came through in that debate between Terry McAuliffe and Glenn Youngkin. We want the parents out. Obama says they're the problem. The parents are the problem. They need to get out of the way. And we need the children to rule. Here's clip 8.
While you're at it, you need to help educate your parents and grandparents, your uncles and aunts, your teachers, your employers. Because while a dangerously warming planet is a reality that a lot of you have grown up with as young people, you've studied in school, you've read about it, it's been part of the backdrop of your childhood. Members of the older generation don't have that same frame of reference.
They're the problem. This is why school boards and the propagandists in the media, this is why they defend and protect and conceal the vile acts of pedophiles, transgender predators, because if it can allow for them to attack the parents, we've got to get the parents out of the way. That's what we want to get done here. Attack the parents, the authority that the parents have over the children. Karl Marx, Frederick Engels, we quoted an article not that long ago, I think it was last week, how both of them, they wanted to abolish the family unit. This is how the communists can control everything. That's what they want. This is in the article, The Road to Civilizational Collapse. We quoted this a week or two ago. It says, it is the abolition of the family, as Karl Marx explicitly put it, that is central to the success of the communist agenda. As the most fundamental bond of humanity, it is the most resistant bulwark against the totalitarian state control and collectivist mindset. It's the environment in which we are first civilized and molded, ideally into productive citizens. See, that's what we've got to destroy, so say the communists. That's what we've got to get rid of. We don't want any of that. We don't want parental involvement or certainly not parental influence in our school curriculum. So you see why, what's been going on these past many months in Virginia and elsewhere, all across the United States. And it comes through, the same spirit of it comes through in Obama's speech yesterday. You children, hey, you tell your grandparents which end is up, okay? They don't have the context. They're the ones that got us into this problem. It's alarming, it should be, for a lot of people. Not nearly enough, but it's good to at least hear a few commentators, like the one that authored this essay, Candace Owens, and other ones, the conservative treehouse that I read earlier. They're seeing what Herbert Armstrong was warning about for 60, 70 years, or at least it was in print or has been for that long. He warned about it himself for 30 or 40 years. And here we are. Here we are. You see the sickness through and through. So just to hurry through some of this material, day 603 to slow the spread. As I mentioned earlier, OSHA comes out with this unconstitutional decree, basically saying a decree that affects a third of Americans, nearly 100 million people that are going to be forced to get the jab or they lose their job. And then I've played the clips for you before, recently even, where all these Joe Bama people are in front of the camera saying that, hey, we've got to get everyone vaccinated, and that's what ultimately is going to help the economy. That's how we're going to come booming back. It's if everyone gets the jab. Listen to some of these recent news reports. I think these are at the local level, clip 13.
All federal employees must be fully vaccinated by November 22nd. A conservative think tank obtained a Border Patrol document which shows nearly half of the agents have not registered their vaccination status. 10% who did register have not received any doses yet. In a worst-case scenario, more than half of all Border Patrol agents could be fired under the new federal vaccine mandate.
Now, just try to wrap your mind around this insanity for a moment. That's border control agents. Because of Joe Biden, Joe Obama, half of them could lose their job because they haven't been vaccinated. Meanwhile, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands are coming into the United States illegally, many of them with COVID. They're given the bank card. They're given free room and board. They're given free transport to a city near you. That continues. But the individuals, the law enforcement officials trying to slow that flood of illegals, they're the ones given an ultimatum. They're the ones forced to get a jab. Jab or else. Nobody says that to the migrants, the illegals flooding into the nation. And then the judge, the federal judge that says this is unconstitutional, Joe Obama says, doesn't matter. Hey, you just make sure you enforce this. Force them to get the jab or else, just like our Trump feature pointed out months ago. Here's another local report on the trucking industry, clip 14.
Meanwhile, trucking industry leaders are asking for exemptions from the federal mandate. The industry heads say that without the exemptions, they're going to lose more than a third of their drivers. Trucking companies say it might be impossible to enforce weekly coronavirus testing for unvaccinated workers. On top of that, they say they couldn't possibly afford the huge fines.
So in OSHA's decree, I think the deadline was supposed to be November. And then they pushed it back to January. I think it's January the 4th. And there was wrangling over that because, well, you're coming right up to Christmas and so on. So you can't do this to people right before the holiday season. So they pushed it back to January 4th because, you know, it's so urgent. Everybody's got to get this jab or everyone's going to die. The politics that run through these policies and decisions. You spot it a mile away, don't you? Of course you do. OSHA, in its decree, said OSHA determined that workers who have been infected with COVID-19 but have not been fully vaccinated still face a grave danger from workplace exposure to COVID. In other words, the natural immunity, it doesn't really matter. This is OSHA just creating science, fake science. OSHA determined this? Is this not for the CDC or the FDA? I'm not exactly endorsing those institutions or agencies. But OSHA determined that workers who have been infected with COVID-19 but have not been fully vaccinated are still in grave danger. We weren't hearing that last year, were we? No, at the early stage of the pandemic, remember they talked about herd immunity and natural immunity is the way to go. That's not what they say now. Now it's all the drugs, the vaccines, that's what will save us. And line the pockets of all those VPs at Pfizer, but let that go. This is bringing in billions for those companies. And all these reports of people getting sick and even dying because of the drug, doesn't matter. We got to blot that out. Don't let that, social media will help us censor those reports. And then if someone does have the courage to speak up, then we can all attack him. We can all try to destroy him. Look at what happened when Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, he spoke up. It was on some podcast, and it came out that he hadn't been vaccinated. He comes down with the COVID, and it's just like Kayleigh McEnany. If it's the enemy, if it's the unvaccinated, he is to be attacked. If it's Jen Psaki, not a big deal. Doesn't mean anything. She got the COVID, but hey, she was vaccinated previous to that, so the COVID would have been a lot worse. Listen to Aaron Rodgers on a recent podcast, clip 16.
The problem with this is it is so political, and health should not be political. It shouldn't be that, you know, Trump endorsed ivermectin and HCQ, and so take that. off, it doesn't work, you know? I mean, in general, look at, I think we all should have been a little hesitant. When Trump in 2020 was championing these vaccines that were coming so quick, what did the left say? And I'm talking about every member of the left. Don't trust the vaccine. Don't get the vaccine. You're going to die from the vaccine. And then what happened? Biden wins and everything flips. Shouldn't that initially give you a little bit of pause and go, hold on a second. Isn't it about health and not about like politics? And to that point, has any member of the health staff this entire time got up and actually talked about real health? Have they talked about exercise, a healthy diet, like eating real food, drinking water, taking vitamins, vitamin D deficiency, and what that causes in the body? No, there hasn't been any of that.
Wow, it's almost like he watches the Trumpet Daily once in a while. Good for him. Dropping a truth bomb, not just on the NFL, but the entire nation. Look, Trump loses. It was stolen, actually. And then the entire big pharma establishment flip-flops? You've heard the montages. All the anti-vaxxers in the Democrat Party. So long as Donald Trump's president, I don't trust it. No way am I taking that vaccine. Would you trust it? Of course not. You got the bad orange man in the White House. And then as soon as they pull off the steal, you better get the jab. Everybody gets the jab. Everybody gets the jab or they're fired. Day 603. And there's a quarterback in the NFL. Of course, these athletes are in spectacular shape physically. But for them to even consider doing it in a more godly, biblical way, take care of your health, get some sunshine, eat well, work out, exercise. And he comes under attack, and there's been so many attacks, it's not even worth getting into all of them. I want to save some time here for some of these tragic cases. This 16-year-old son of a father in Texas fainted while playing basketball, and then later... He died. He died. Listen to his father's testimony, clip 18.
I was a father of a 16-year-old son, a single parent. I raised my boy since he was a baby. He meant the world to me. I got the vaccine to protect my son, and after in March, April, they're announcing how it was safe for teenagers. Me and my son have never been apart. We're always together. He was my best friend. We got the Pfizer vaccine because I thought it was to protect him. I thought it was the right thing to do. It was like playing Russian roulette. My government lied to me. They said it was safe. Thanksgiving, I'm going to spend at the cemetery. Christmas, at that cemetery. They need to quit pushing this on their children. I lost mine. Y'all need to protect yours.
Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, he's about the only one on Capitol Hill who's even giving voice to cases like this. Listen to this distraught mother. Her daughter didn't die, but she describes her condition after getting the jab. This is clip 20.
It's been over 9 months since she got her second dose. She can't walk. She's in a wheelchair. She has an NG tube for all of her nutrition. She has constant pain in her stomach, back and neck. She was over there laying on chairs because she can't make it through this. She can't feel her legs, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
It's just the tip of the iceberg, and then you get all these reports, athletes, the tragic case of the Canadian boy. He got the shot in order to play sports. He dies. There's the ice hockey player playing a game, I think it was in Austria, 24 years old, collapsed on the ice. And then died a few days later. Listen to this. This is Chris Eames just sent me this morning from what is it? It's the Berliner Zeitung. It's a German publication, a well-known one, a big one at that. It's in German, but this is a Google Translate. It says the professional player Sergio Aguero, he was another one that collapsed recently on the field, from Barcelona will be out for at least 3 months. The 33-year-old was substituted for the game against another team with breathing problems. So I guess he didn't collapse, but he had breathing problems. He was holding his chest and was admitted to a hospital. He's now being treated by a cardiologist for heart problems. And then it refers to Christian Eriksen. He was the one that collapsed on the field a few months ago. It says, even the best screening examination is not perfect, so things like this can still happen. That's why there is a second line of prevention and so on. But then this article, again, this is from Germany, it lists off all of these cases, individual cases that happen in the world of sports. Young people, the ones that aren't in danger of dying from COVID at all. 17-year-old soccer player from Hoherhagen had to be resuscitated during the game in Hannover, Munden. That's in Germany, I presume. A Gifhorn amateur player, Marvin Schumann, has to be resuscitated after a cardiac arrest. An assistant referee of an Augsburg game in Emmersacker collapses with heart problems. How many more cases like this are happening in the United States but are not being reported? This is just Germany. It says a district league player has to be revived by his opponent. Another case, a player from Biradi Club Munster collapses in a regional league game against FC Nordkirchen. Another one, 17-year-old soccer player Dylan Rich dies of a heart attack during a game in England. 17 years old. This one I remember the report on. Happened in England. Another one, the goalkeeping coach of SP Nedderporing suffers a heart attack after a training session. Lucas Surek, 24 years old, it says, of the BFC Leipzig club is out because of a suspected heart muscle disorder. Kingsley Coman, 25 years old, from FC Bayern Munich, has to undergo heart surgery after a cardio, and some word I can't pronounce, trainer Dirk Splitsteaser from SG Trachter de Witz collapses dead on the sidelines. And on it goes. How many more examples? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. This is in a German publication, 10, 11, 12, that I don't have time to get into. And yet here we are in the United States with this madness that we've got to get the 5-year-olds jabbed. We've got to put the experimental gene therapy into 5-year-olds. All these young people collapsing. And people don't really care, do they? And then all these mysterious deaths. I don't have time to get to this Daily Express. Let me just hurry. Daily Express from the UK. COVID, it says here, an urgent inquiry is needed into soaring excess deaths at home, which have reached more than 65,000 since the start of the pandemic. Figures from the Home Office show that over the past 18 months, there have been at least 74,000 excess deaths above the 5-year average in private homes, only 12% involved COVID. Now, you would expect more deaths with a pandemic, but this is talking about deaths that aren't even related to COVID. What's the cause? Well, there's lots of unknowns here. It's certainly not all the vaccine. There's other side effects because of lockdowns. The cure is worse than the disease. The cure is killing us. It certainly is. There's a lot more I could get into, but I just don't have the time. Perhaps tomorrow we could give you some leftovers. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Send us some feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.